Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores, the games every day.
Just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
Ah, what's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius, and we usually don't record right after the games, but tonight we are, and I'm glad we are. The Lakers go out on their shields, but they go out nonetheless, swept 4-0 to the Thunder in, by down 0-3 standards, was actually a pretty good game. That fourth quarter especially, the two teams had this offensive flurry where it was one of those games where, you know, you're cheering for your team and it's like, all right, let's go, nice shot, right? And they come back down and then, you know, Shea hits this shot, this moon ball that has crazy arc on a fadeaway. It's like, damn. And then AJ Mitchell is coming down and cooking, right? But Lakers are making their own shots and just really a great flurry in that fourth. But at the end, OKC executes a little better than the Lakers do. Bron gets a little jump stop floater that he misses a little long, a little wide left off glass. And then Austin misses a pull up three with a chance to tie. And that was that. Just in terms of how I'm feeling at the moment, at the end of this, I love that they went out on their shield. I loved the effort and the resilience that they had. Again, when teams are down 0-3, you see that Philly Knicks game? They lost by like 42 at home or something like that. And even last year, compared to last year, how the Lakers went out getting dominated by Gobert, just Lakers played hard. The thing I wanted to see over the course of this series that we talked prior to the series was a level of improvement. And I think a level of familiarity with OKC, of like, okay, this is how we need to play to beat these guys going forward. And I thought a couple of players that, you know, have a good chance of being with the team going forward saw a progression of their understanding over the course of the series. And we saw LeBron really dig down deep, just really a team-wide effort. Again, not perfect. I know this is, you know, celebrating a loss on some level and, you know, Lakers go out in the second round, D, but that's just kind of how I'm feeling right now. Is I respected this team. This team earned my respect over the course of the year. They flashed a month of brilliance before some really unfortunate events. They won a really fun first round playoff series and they went down 4-0 to the champs. And here we are. How you feeling the night of?
I'm disappointed for them. And very proud of the effort they put forward in a game where the only time they had a lead in the second half, all series, they had a 1-point lead, Pete, with 41 seconds left. Marcus Smart, who was not good on offense again, I'm not going to belabor that point, but had a very Marcus Smart game in that he was a plus whatever for the longest time while throwing the ball all over the court, but played his ass off defensively and really like sticking to the defensive game plan. Couldn't buy a shot, Pete, but gets an and one floater after backstopping against Chet Holmgren and then shooting a floater over the top of Isaiah Hartenstein and drawing a foul. And I thought in that moment, honestly, I don't know how the Lakers are going to get two more stops to close this game to beat OKC. And that's a credit to the Thunder. In those moments, the level of shot making that OKC was exhibiting and the counterpunching that the Lakers had with Rui getting a 4-point play and every shot that the guys hit down the stretch. This wasn't down the stretch necessarily, but Austin up against the shot clock with no dribble and throws up a moon ball of his own against Caruso to knock down a three. The 3-point shots that LeBron hit in the second half. Jackson Hayes playing his ass off, finishing inside with force, getting a key defensive block and a transition opportunity for OKC. Like, I get that the Lakers got swept, and I get that three of the games were not close at all, but this was like a boxer who had been knocked down multiple times in a fight already, and it's like the 10th round out of 12 rounds, and they're out there still throwing haymakers right in the middle of the ring. And they showed a level of fight that I thought exhibited the resiliency that this team has and the mentality that they had pretty much all season and all series.
Why does that matter at the end of the day, right? Like, a loss is a loss. We're the Lakers, right? 17-time world champs over here celebrating moral victories. What is this? Why does it matter?
I'm not even sure if I would say that you or I are celebrating a moral victory. There's a certain amount of character building that I think you need to have as a person, as an athlete, that in the moments of confrontation, in the moments where you are facing almost sure defeat, you're down 3-0 to start this game, you're not going to come back and beat the defending champs, that there's a certain amount of what kind of heart and fight are we going to show? Because that's the thing that you call back on. That's the mentality that you need to be able to tap into when those circumstances are not as dire, but you need that resiliency in order to accomplish a thing when you are better positioned. The response you have in your most trying moments, it doesn't need to be life or death. Life or death within the basketball sense. If we lose, it's a loss by 30 or a loss by two. You get eliminated all of the same. It's summertime. But I feel like, Pete, that this is where sports do imitate life. If you go through life in these instances and be like, whatever, I'm not going to get this part. You give your best in every opportunity that you have to give your best. And I think that that matters in the overall picture because it speaks to what I think is the ultimate idea of culture that we've talked about a ton this season, which is like, what's normal around here? And if what's going to be normal for the team next season or two seasons from now or four seasons from now, if these same players are a part of the mix, we're going to show a competitive spirit regardless of what our circumstances are. And I thought that this was an important game within that context, win or lose. I would have loved it if they won, but they didn't.
Kobe would talk about that idea of failure, right? And it was through the context of failure doesn't make sense if there's you're not at the finish line, right? That there's a continuation of the story was a big part of the point that he was making, that you build off of that and then you take the lessons from that, that I am so glad we know what we know now than we did before these four games. I'm so glad that several of our players have gotten that experience, and I think they'll be able to carry that forward. But to your point, if they built some foundation this year, I think a whole lot of the house is going to get built over the course of this summer, of which I think a good part of the team could or will be back, but it is the summer of optionality, D, something that we've talked about a lot at the beginning of the season. But I am so glad that the Lakers have this to build off of. So let's go to break here, come back and keep it going.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
So, Pete, a couple of times already you've mentioned that there's a couple of players that you're glad you sort of got to see them progress in this series. I would imagine that Austin Reeves is one of those guys. I thought he had a really good game four, and I thought that he started to find his way against an OKC defense that was really geared up to slow him as the main perimeter threat for the team. So much of LeBron's success came as a post-up player and not as a perimeter, I've got the ball at the top of the floor threat. Mm-hmm. And so much of those responsibilities came down to Austin Reeves and Marcus Smart. And Marcus showed that he was too erratic as a primary ball handler in those situations, with many of his passes just going awry and everything else. It showed that without Luka, I thought Marcus got slotted into a spot that was inappropriate for him as a ball handler. And Austin looked similarly out of place in game one as a primary shot creator against mm-hmm. this defense. And I thought by game four, he looked much more stable, even though still not perfect, obviously. And to me, it's clear that even Austin might be slotted too high as the main, you're the guy who's going to do it every single possession against a defense of this caliber. But I thought he acquitted himself pretty well in this game. And the strides that he made, I think that they're worthy of discussion. And so what did you see from Austin overall?
By the end of the series, again, prior to the series, I was talking about wanting to see improvement over the course of it and him being the primary example of that. And I think he has a much better understanding of how to attack OKC than he did at the beginning of this series. That was one thing that jumped out all over the tape in the games that they played in the regular season, and why the first part of this series was no surprise, was just the degree to which Austin's penchant for really going forward and pressing the turbo button and continuing to go forward when he met with resistance and still trying to score. That's the distinction that really sort of came to light over the course of this series, that I don't think he progressed all the way to where he needs to be and to where he can get to. I just think that he sort of like found, oh, this is what I need to do, and just did it more. He had a like 4-turnover flurry right at the first part of the third quarter that was pretty harmful. That there are these flashes. Again, it showed that, yeah, you need somebody else to be the main person handling the ball, which the Lakers certainly have that. But the degree to which he was driving and kicking and like driving to pass and understanding the defensive coverages and then realizing when the defense was loosened up so that then he could attack one-on-one. I thought his mentality shifted from, I need to attack as a scorer primarily, to I need to attack as a passer so that I could then open up my scoring. And then just some of the techniques that he used to do that involved a lot of better pacing and again, lingering in the mid-range a little bit, even if it's just just to spray out a pass. I thought his skip passes were generally good this series, but again, seven turnover game, or at least I think it was seven turnovers. So not all of the way there, but mixed bag for sure. The jump shot is everything, I think, with Austin. Honestly, the season ending on a missed Austin Reeves pull-up three is symbolic on some level. That his playoff success as an on-ball type of guy, or even if he's not the main guy, D, he's shown that he's going to be the secondary guy at worst on the perimeter. That his jump shot, I think, is just so such a big part of his success or not. But I think a lot of that comes from making the right choice. And I thought that that is where he really grew over the course of this series, was he was just making the right choice from play to play way more often than I thought he was, both in the regular season and at the start of the series.
Yeah, that flurry of turnovers was definitely tough. And he ended up the night with eight turnovers, actually. And so tough night in that regard. I thought a couple of those, he got sped up again. A couple of those were pass off of a guy's hands, low sort of rocket pass to Ayton that skipped out of bounds. OKC is probably the team that's going to stress you the most in the entire league in terms of being a turnover player. In general, this was jumping from high school geometry to college calculus in some ways, even if that previous level was Houston. It's not just Amen Thompson, and then it's like Reed Shepard, and then like a couple of other guys who are good defensive players but are too slow for you. Even AJ Mitchell's a like-sized athlete who is a better athlete than you, and he plays hard defensively, and behind him is Chet and Hartenstein. And then if it's not AJ Mitchell, then it's Kayson Wallace, or it's Alex Caruso, or it's Lu Dort, and it's just guy after guy after guy. Even when they were running actions in order to set screens and bring Shea into the action to get Austin on Shea, it's just like, Shea's a good defensive player, and he's a better athlete than Austin. He's bigger than Austin. He's stronger than Austin. He's got more length. It's just like, that's a tough defensive matchup for Austin as well, but he's the least accomplished defensive player on the other team from a perimeter standpoint. And so in some of those lineups, it's just like, well, that's the guy, right? So you've got to go attack him. I thought your point before the series of, I think Austin needs to play more to pass, I think that that was spot on. And it was against what my thought was about, like, well, he's going to need to score. I thought once Austin accepted a certain amount of passing burden and playmaking responsibility for his teammates, the offense and his scoring actually opened up more for him. And another thing that you called for very early on in the series was for Austin to stop going forward as much and to step back some. And I thought his first shot, or his first made bucket, coming on essentially a step back three where he probed the defense a little bit and then stepped back, that's a critical part of his game as well. But to your point, that requires a certain amount of jump shot making facility. And when he has that, he becomes a very difficult cover even for the best defenses in the league. And again, that means he can then draw fouls and get to certain spots on the court. I also thought that the Lakers were smart in starting to move him off of the ball to start possessions and bringing him in the handoff situations, mm-hmm. and not having him have to just be a pick and roll ball handler 40 feet from the basket, even though he had to do that plenty enough as well.
On the point of Austin going forward, 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 that's oftentimes a really good thing. And it's something this Lakers offense, even with Luka, having his speed attacks has always been very helpful. But that is the sort of the point of when you're guarding somebody that looks to attack you with speed, you are sort of on your back foot and you're have your momentum moving that way. That actually makes the defender vulnerable to, hey, I'm actually going to stop really quickly and pull up. Jerry West, this is his signature shot, is that he was very much a speed attack player who could get all the way to the rim, but he could also 1-2 step and elevate very quickly and shoot a very consistent pull-up jumper that used that whole, oh crap, West is going to the basket, I've got to turn my hips and get to the square. Oh, I've got your hips turned. Now I can use that against you to pull up. That it's really just Austin recognizing it. And again, it's part of that process of a player getting more reps in a role. Like Austin's what, 27, I think, at this point. And but he's not played this particular role, especially at a, and this is the highest of levels, as you pointed out. He hasn't done that before in a way that I think that this is very valuable for him going forward against these type of defenses, because so many of the mistakes that he makes are mistakes of choice rather than some inherent deficiency. And that I think he got better at in terms of the processing speed stuff, even while not being all the way there, as being evidenced by the turnovers.
Let's take our second break here, Pete. And when we come back, I want to shift from Austin and talk a little bit about LeBron.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
When you mentioned in the aftermath of Game 3 that Monday could be LeBron James' last game as a Laker, if that was his last game, I thought he showed a level of determination and fight and leadership and energy and focus befitting of a player who has won as much as he has and who has had the longest, most successful career in the history of the league. You expect nothing less from LeBron James, but him delivering it all the same is a marvel at this stage of his career. It wasn't his most efficient scoring night, but I thought his energy at the beginning of the game and the threes he hit in the second half to sort of bring the Lakers back after OKC had made a push in the third quarter, he never let go of the game. Much of this was his leadership that I thought was like the fulcrum that the Lakers' chances swung on in this game. And they came up short for sure, but it was not from lack of trying. And I thought LeBron epitomized the trying. It was another game where I also thought that as he's aged, his flaws also were just like, oh man, like there was that turnover he had after the Lakers couldn't get a stop forever and ever and ever in that back and forth stretch that you were describing where the shot making was there. And the Lakers finally got a stop. And LeBron grabs that defensive rebound, and it looked like he went to sort of make a pass out to Austin, but Hartenstein like reached in or got a little deflection, and then the ball goes back, and OKC gets the ball. And I was just like, oh man, that might have been the game.
Yeah.
He had worked so hard at various points of the game to keep the Lakers in it or competing, right? But some of the little things that is just like, oh, you're 41 now.
Yeah.
Right. That's like the fact that you have to do this much to try to keep the team in it and like you kind of can't anymore, but him fighting through all that to still like
doing compete, his best.
It just was so endearing to watch him. Like when you say the Lakers went out on their shield, I really envision LeBron.
Yeah. It's funny when you asked me to, you know, give my thoughts on Bron. I noticed so much of that too, but I'm not in the mood to be like, you know, if only our number one guy was, you know, a little bit better tonight, but that's just what you need to beat fucking Oklahoma City. You know what I mean? And that's who LeBron's been for so many years. But like when you ask me what I come away from tonight, it's like, yeah, LeBron's 41 years old. He didn't have 34 in him instead of 24.
Yes. But it's interesting to me because by revealing the things that he's not, I thought his push to give the things that he did stood out even more.
It's beautiful.
Right? He's not the same high-flying athlete that he was when he came to the Lakers 8 seasons ago, Pete. He's not the dominant driver and finisher at the basket. It's almost fitting to me that these last couple of games, I thought the part where he struggled the most was that he couldn't really finish over or around Hartenstein and Chet at the basket the way that he could in the past. One of the signature LeBron plays to me had nothing to do with like a championship or whatever. It was the back-to-back drives he had against Memphis in the playoffs a few years ago, where he forced overtime with a strong right-hand drive and he flipped up this high arcing bank. And then in overtime, he basically sunk the win with a hard left-hand drive where he got an and-one bank over Dylan Brooks. And that finish he had over Jackson was a very similar play that he tried to get to in this game, where he missed the floater over the top of Hartenstein. That it was hard watching him not be able to make that shot, but it also sort of made me appreciate all that he's done for all of these seasons, and the greatness that wasn't there in that moment made me remember and appreciate all the greatness that had been there so many times before. It left me appreciating all that he did and all that he gave because, yeah. And this goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the discussion, where it's just like, oh, well, moral victories and this, this, that, right. And the other. But I think in these moments where you're tested the most, if you give everything you have, there is nothing to hang your head about.
Amen to that. Let's back away from Bron or individual players. Season's over. Lakers season's over. It's been a crazy ride this season. I would like us going forward to both digest these playoffs and what we learned, because this is when I think we have the clearest eyes on who's who and what the team is. And then, of course, the biggest Lakers summer in years coming up. And we're going to talk about that from all sorts of angles. But as this year concludes, D, where are you at?
I feel longing for the thing that they couldn't do together as a group.
Yeah.
I don't think they beat OKC if Luka's completely healthy, but I would have loved to have seen them try. And the fact that the Lakers won a playoff series with Luka not playing a single second and Austin Reeves not coming back until Game 5, I know that there's a certain amount of just like, oh, Houston, and they're trash, and they didn't have Durant either. Or whatever, man. They were huge underdogs to start that series. And just like you had said, they were underdogs in every single game that they won. And so it was an achievement what they accomplished in that first round. And so I'm wistful for the chance they never got. And now I'm wondering where it all goes. Remember when this season started, we wondered, would a team of basically free agents or guys who could choose to be free agents at the end of the season, how would they come together? Would they play for each other? Would they start to break apart and fracture? And there were certain points during the season where we questioned the team's culture, and for them to end playing as hard as they did in a game that the only consequence was to avoid being swept by the team that is favored to win the championship. I, again, am proud of this group, but I'm very interested to see what happens next and what the takeaways are for the front office in terms of how they view Austin, how they view Rui, what do they think of Kennard, what's going to happen with Smart and Ayton, what's going to happen with LeBron James. There are so many open questions about the team. And we're going to be here to cover it all. We're going to be here to speculate. But what a year.
Yeah, I feel better than I have in a long time. You could even extend that out to the Mark Walter sale going through over the course of this season, the top-end management moves that they've made, some still yet to come, that I think the foundation is in place for the Lakers to take a big step forward. And they're a good team. This is a good team that needs to become a championship caliber team. And we're going to talk about all of the routes to be able to get there. It's funny, when you brought Luka up, it jarred me for a moment because I'd put him out of my mind for the course of the playoffs and to such a degree. It was like, yo, this is the team that we've got. And
yeah,
got to try to beat OKC. And I felt every time they cut to him, you could just see there was a degree of like, this sucks.
The face that he made when Rui hit the four-point play was one where he was just like, oh, shit, look at my guy Rui. I don't know, man. Like, I don't want to feel bad about what happened tonight at all. Yeah. And I just feel encouraged. And that point that you made about when they cut away to Luka, how he was just like, this sucks. I also think that he looked at these guys fighting the way that they did. And you could sense that he felt encouraged by these guys as well. Like, there was just that sentiment in the air to me.
Yes, very much so. Going forward, I want to talk about why I think the Lakers can go from where they are, in which, if you look at this from a much different perspective, it can show Lakers are a long way away from OKC. They got to get a lot better. That can be a little bit daunting. But again, this summer is going to be really formative in how that looks. But I think there's a lot of exciting stuff ahead. I want us to digest first, though, just kind of what we learned in the playoffs, because I think that informs the decisions going forward. Again, going to be a big summer ahead for the Lakers, but also for the pod. We're going to be really, you know, covering this offseason really as intensely as we ever have. Thank you to everybody who listened to the pod over the course of the year. Thank you to our wonderful producer, Ginny, for all of your hard work over the course of the year. Thank you to UD for all of the pods and the great friendship and conversations. And, you know, it's been a wild ride on my end of things over the course of this season. But just thank you to everybody for all of your support and for listening to the pod and for just this great community. You've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn, he's double teamed. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic, got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound of Lottie. 3 seconds left. Van Exel the winner. It's on the way.
Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance.
Right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe, hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five.
Bryant. Yes.
And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.